I'm glad I'm here. I don't know about y'all, but I'm sure glad I came this way. Good song service, and good to see a lot of guests come out, a lot of visitors come out this way this morning. I'm going to tell you what, we needed you because we got a bunch of people gone out of this church today. They're still on trips and vacations and sicknesses and you name it, but I'm glad everybody come this way. We're going to have a baptize in just a little while. I've thought a lot about, me and Randy's been talking about this on and off all week. I reckon we started, Monday? I guess, you know, we started talking about it and back and forth, things going on. And he made a decision along about Tuesday that he'd like to be baptized. And if approval of the church, we'll handle that just in a few minutes. But, you know, as I thought about the upcoming things that's going on and taking place in the new year, you know, this is our first Sunday of the new year in church. And boy, I'm telling you, getting good word, you know, got a soul saved by the grace of God. You know, starting out, and then here we are going to have a baptizing just in a little while. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. You know, He's still here, and He's still blessing us in a lot of things. And, you know, I look back at next year. I always try to look back and think, you know, what have we done? What have we accomplished? And there's always ups and downs in life. It's just, you know, normal. Scripture says, man born a woman is few days and full of trouble. So let me warn everybody, if you don't have trouble today, look out tomorrow or next week, you know, that there'll be something come up. It's not going to be a perfect year. I don't expect that unless the Lord comes back, and then it'll always be perfect. But not looking to a perfect year, I thought about what Jesus said. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Woo! You just think about that. You know, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when I focus on what may happen, you know, I'm not going to borrow trouble. I'm not going to be a worrier and borrow trouble what might happen tomorrow or next week or next month. But I'm going to tell you, when it does happen, I'm going to remember that statement made by Christ Jesus Himself, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we all have that promise as children of God, as believers on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so whatever you have to face this year, whatever may come up, always remember that Jesus is on your side. He's not going to turn away. He's not going to give up. He's not going to reject you, but He's going to be on your side. I want to look at just a few verses of Scripture. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, a few verses of Scripture in Acts chapter 8. Now let's back up a little bit. Acts chapter 7. And I want to talk just a few minutes about Stephen. You know, Stephen was ordained as a deacon. He was a believer on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He went about preaching Christ as Savior of the world. That was what he did. That's what he was about. And through this, he got condemned. He got falsely accused in a false mock trial. And he got condemned to death. And so I want to pick this up in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. Acts 7 and 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, this is talking about the group, and it's talking about Stephen. And it said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. That's because he was speaking in the power of God. This wasn't just a man standing up speaking to them, but it was God speaking to them, and it had an effect. So it cut them to the heart. And, you know, a lot of times people don't like to know the truth. I'm telling you, there's a lot of times in life that truth really hurts. You know, when you start receiving this Word of God and the truth and you're not complying with it, it hurts in a lot of times. So they were disturbed. In verse 55, it said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, I want you to think about the situation taking place. Stephen's found himself in an awkward, hard, deadly situation that's coming. But when he looked up, I want you to see what he saw. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I've thought about it time after time after time. And every time you read Scripture other than this place, you find that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. He's sitting on the right hand of God. And so when we come down to this point, I'm going to tell you, I believe out of concern, Jesus got off his seat, stood on his feet, looked down and said, I'm going to give him power. I'm going to give him the strength to get through this trial and tribulation that he's facing. When everybody else turns away, Jesus will stand up. Praise the Lord. When everybody in life forsakes you, even the dearest friends you've ever had, sooner or later they'll disappoint you if you stay with them long enough. But Jesus stood up. He stood for Stephen. He was going through a hardship, a hard time. He was going to face death through stoning. And Jesus stood to his feet, I believe, and looked down on him and told God, said, this is one of our, give him strength. And I got excited the other morning, the other day, when I started thinking about Jesus standing up for me personally, Jesus standing up for you personally, that whatever we might have to face and go through this year, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a friend, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, looking down and giving you strength and power to get through it. Praise the Lord. I'm cutting this short. If it wasn't for that, while I'm up here, I'd just preach. But you know, we got a lot taking place here today. But this just excites me when I think about, you know, all the times in life when we count on this person or that person or somebody else. I'm going to tell you, when all those fail, Jesus will still be there. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm encouraging you as a body of Christ this year. I've come to encourage you that whatever comes, whatever take place, just remember in your mind that Jesus is standing on the right hand of the Father and giving you support and helping you to have strength to get through. Whatever comes, you'll find that Jesus didn't forsake you. Over in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we talk about Philip just for a few minutes. I want to tie this with the baptism. Philip was down in Samaria, and he was preaching Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what he was about. You know, I like to read about these guys, don't you? That knew what their position, knew what their job was, knew what their responsibility that God had blessed them to have. And they didn't play around with it. They was preaching, Philip's down there in Samaria. He's preaching Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified on the cross of Calvary, and dead, buried, and resurrected on the third day. You know, that's what he's preaching. And I'm going to tell you, that preaching don't go over too well with the lot of people, because you know it's tough, but that's the plan that God had, that he allowed these men to go down and preach Jesus Christ crucified. I thought about how he trusted them with the word. He could have done this through the Holy Ghost. He could have revealed it to people, but he said, I'm going to entrust these men to go down and preach Jesus. So Philip's down there preaching Jesus Christ in Samaria. It said that there was great joy in that city, and I thought about the rejoicing and praising that was going down. And all of a sudden, God spoke to Philip in verse 26, chapter 8 and verse 26. It said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down unto from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, I thought about this eunuch. And the position of power he had. He's in charge of all the treasure down there. I mean, he was a man of some sorts. I mean, he was a man that everybody could respect and look up to him. But I'm going to tell you this also, that when he left the city, he came away confused. He came away misunderstanding the Word of God. No doubt he had run into the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the other seas down there, and one saying this and one saying that, and he needed to know the truth. Now, I want to preach to you that there's a need in this country today that we know the truth, and this is the truth, the Word of God. Everybody else be a liar and God be the truth. And that's where we come to. So he came away and God saw fit to send Philip. He said, Philip, you leave this joyful city, you leave this big prayer meeting up here, and go down here and speak to this man that he might know the truth. Now that's how much God loves his children, that he wants us to know the truth revealed to us. Philip went down, joined himself to the chariot. He heard him reading the book of Isaiah. He said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man guide me? Well, God had made the way. Now in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began to say scripture and preached to him Jesus. That's what Philip does. He preaches Jesus day in, day out. Don't matter if he's in Jerusalem. Don't matter where he's at, Samaria. He preaches Jesus. So he opened and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Good question to be asked. He had a desire after he had received and believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had a desire for baptism. And he said, "What would hinder me?" And verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now we're talking about Scripture. We're talking about, in a nutshell, the Word of God. It said, "Believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so this eunuch had done what it took to be saved. He said, "I believe with all my heart." And I thought, praise God, that confession's made. And he's saying, "I believe with all my heart," and received him. Guess what? He came qualified for baptism. Salvation first, and then baptism. There's an order to it according to the Scripture. Philip questioned him. He said, "What would hinder me?" And he said, "If you believe with all your heart." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he's a true believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God, and now he's got a request to be baptized. And I thought he qualified himself. He got qualified by the Word of God. In verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Now I'm going to tell you very plainly, it said they went down into the water. I'm not going to sprinkle Randy in a minute. I'm going to submerge him. He's going under and I'm out. Because I've done been told, put him under deep. Had two or three different people said, "Put him under deep. Don't heat the water." Now, we laugh a little bit and have a good time. If you hadn't had a good time at your church lately, come up and join us. We have a good time. Praise the Lord. I don't think there's anything pleases God better than to look down at His children, smiling, laughing, having a good time. You know it? I've been in too many boring church services through my life. Preached about half of them. I don't believe that's God's plan for us. He wants us to be a happy people. I want to open the doors at New Salem Baptist Church. We received member by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism, and by statement. Now, let me explain, though, just a little bit. To join by letter, that means you're a member of another church somewhere, and we'll call and request a letter, and they send it, and then you're a member of this church. Joining by statement means that you'd be able to stand here, have a desire to join this church, and stand here in front of this congregation and say, "I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm baptized in the right order, and I'd like to join this church." Now that's statement. And then we got baptism. And my Bible says submersed. Then we've got baptism, where you come and just put a desire to join this church and through baptism. So you're baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church. Pretty plain, right? You can read every bit of it. I can read every bit of that to you. You're baptized into the death of Christ, showing the death. And then when I bring them up, it's going to show, or put them down, it's going to show the death, the burial when they're under, and the resurrection when I bring them up. That's what it's going to show. It's going to show the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And through that, the candidate makes a statement. The candidate makes a statement that I want to give testimony of a belief on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give testimony by my baptism, my submission to Him on this day.